Well, hello, good morning. They've let me do it again. So my scripture today is following on from Ian's last week, directly the same sort of paragraph. So it's Acts 22:22. Paul's arrested again. He's been brought in front of this crowd. He's asked if he can speak to them, which is just what Paul likes to do, speak in front of a crowd. And he talks honestly and openly, and he tells his story. So Paul's got this reputation of spreading the gospel. He's got a reputation of bringing the news to people, going to everyone, whoever he can find, telling people about it, healing the sick, doing all these kind of miracles. That's kind of what he's known for, but that wasn't always Paul's reputation. As we all know, he came from a really bad sort of past where he himself was persecuting believers, and he even stood in agreement while Stephen was being flogged and killed. So as we read through these next few scriptures, we'll see what happens next and what happens when the crowd hears what he's got to say. So Acts 22:22-30. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. So if you remember with Ian's last week, the last sentence that Paul said was, "Then the Lord said to me, go, and I will send you far away to the Gentiles." So they were listening to his story, and then he said that line. The crowd listened until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, "Rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live." As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the commander ordered that Paul be taken to the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why the people were shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, "Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't been found guilty?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and reported it. "What are you going to do?" he asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." The commander went to Paul and asked, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes, I am," he answered. Then the commander said, "I had to pay a lot of money for my citizenship." "But I was born a citizen," Paul replied. Those who were about to interrogate him withdrew immediately. The commander himself was alarmed when he realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. The commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews. So the next day, he released him and ordered the chief priest and all the members of the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before them. So as Ian touched upon last week, I was saying to Ian last week, because we were both kind of doing the same little bit, and I was praying, please don't say what I'm going to say this week, but it was fine. Confirmation, isn't it? The people were listening to Paul's story intently until he mentioned the word Gentile. So they themselves were supposed to be the people spreading the news and being a light in people's lives. So this brought out anger and exposed their pride. They've renounced the mission by becoming exclusive and separated. So it's up to the likes of Paul and Peter, Jewish Christians, to spread the gospel and bring the good news. So there's Paul standing there in front of this huge crowd, pouring his heart out, being open and honest about his story, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What another amazing opportunity he's had. And again, as Ian was saying, he sees a crowd and he uses that opportunity to tell as many people as he can. He knew that there could have been repercussions and opposition, but he knew he had to tell his story. So he starts a story from the beginning, as we know, when he himself persecuted believers. He informed them of his reputation back then. He was honest about his past, but he also told them about his encounter with Jesus and how he got to know Jesus and how that changed his life. And it changed his ways of thinking. It was his journey with God. However, the crowd just didn't want to know. They started chanting, "Rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live." Imagine standing there in front of thousands of people and they start chanting at you. I'm standing here and you're not even saying you want to kill me, and that's scary enough. Imagine what was going through his head. I mean, you think Paul would be used to this. You think he'd be used to the opposition and people hating him and people chanting stuff at him, but it must have been so scary for him. And there were people in the crowd who probably didn't even hear the story. They just were at the back and just started joining him with the chants anyway. There were probably people who just wandered in from the street, seeing a big crowd of people, and just joined in. You know when you're at a football match and it takes three or four people to start that chant? I'm not going to do the chant, I was, but I'm not. And then before you know it, the whole stadium's doing it. Or when you're at a concert and the artist is late and you start singing that, why are we waiting? And then everyone just joins in. It's infectious. Everybody just jumps in regardless. But Paul knew that whatever the outcome, he needed to tell his story. But let me ask you this. When was the last time that you told your story? When was the last time that you told someone about Jesus? When was the last time you told someone what Jesus has done in your life? And would your reputation now back up or undermine your story? You know, if you haven't already, I would recommend sharing your stories at your tables. We had Danielle this week share her story, and wow, what a testimony. I've not heard that before, and it was incredible. So I would say share your stories with each other. Your story could be what brings someone to Christ. And you know, you don't have to be all theological and know your Bible upside down and inside out. I certainly don't. Just a few months ago, me and Alex came running up to Ben. He's laughing because he knows what I'm going to say. Ben, we found this new book in the Bible. The Bible app's given us this book. We've never seen it before, and it's only 2 pages long. And we're all excited and confused, but mostly excited. What is it? To which Ben replied, "No, guys, Obadiah has always been there, always will be, right from the beginning." And that was that. So that was pretty embarrassing. But you know, even though I don't know all the books in the Bible, I can still, for example, tell my clients about Jesus. I can still tell them my story. So, Paul had a bad rep. You know, it's not easy to forget a bad reputation. You can do 1,000 good things in your life, and as soon as you do that one bad thing, that's the thing that people will remember. See, when you cross someone, or when someone crosses you, or if someone offends you, or if someone just looks you up and down the wrong way, we kind of hold that little grudge and we remember it. So bad reputation is really hard to shake off. People just don't forget, and they find it hard to forgive. But Jesus forgives. Jesus can turn anything bad to good. You know, when I was younger, I had a really bad reputation. Some of you might find this hard to believe. Some of you who knew me back then will totally remember. I used to have this attitude of, I can do what I want, I can wear what I want, no one's going to tell me what to do. Jesus loves me regardless, which he does, but that's not the point. I was just trying to fill that God gap with anything I could find: alcohol, drugs, men, parties. And I'd put on this all happy front, but really I wasn't. I was really sad and depressed, and that's what it was. I would go out on a night out, be all, yay, party girl. Literally black out, wake up in a house where I didn't know, with people who I didn't know. I could have potentially got myself into some really, really dangerous situations. But looking back, I can see God's hands on that. I can see God's protection on that. My friends, so-called friends, didn't care for me. They just wanted entertainment. My many, 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 many boyfriends didn't care for me. They were just using me. And bit by bit, I began to feel worthless. I began to feel shame. I was depressed. I had no identity. The church for me was somewhere where I went when I had nothing better to do. When I'd broken up with a boyfriend, or when my life was going wrong, and I'd come back, and I'd leave, and I'd come back, and I'd leave, and I'd come back. my attitude was, even when I did come back to the church, I'd do what I want through the week, go out, have a good time, come in on a Sunday, be forgiven, wipe the slate clean, and then do it all again the next week. And that was my life for years and years. You know, I am blessed to be part of a church where people don't judge me on that, and they welcome me back every time and just love me through it and prayed me through it. But I would wonder why all these new Christians would come in and they'd be going on ahead of me and I'd just be there and they'd be having all these amazing stories and amazing encounters with Jesus, and I'm like, why isn't that happening to me? And then going out in the pub the next day and getting drunk. Everyone was moving forward and I was just still. I was unfulfilled, unexcited, with no passion, with absolutely no impact on the church or anyone in it. I was basically invisible through no fault of my own. And it didn't feel great. I didn't think God would ever use me for anything. But I remember the moment that my life changed. I just got back from a family holiday and I simply just made a choice. I made a choice that I was going to stop this lukewarm, half in, half out attitude and just throw myself, just give it all to God. So I threw myself into church activities, I signed up for just about everything, threw myself into reading and studying the Bible, and threw myself into prayer, which was a game changer. And my life changed for the better. If you feel like you're invisible or isolated or lonely, step out, sign up to something, get involved. You need to be active in it. You can't just wait for something to happen. You need to make that choice and sign up to something and involve yourself. We've got an amazing community around us here. But that bad reputation wasn't easy to shake off. It took a long time before people trusted me, before people took me seriously, before people to even like me. It wasn't very nice back then. You know, people will judge you by your past, but no one's perfect. We've all got our baggage, we've all got our insecurities, we've all got our own issues, we've all got our own past. We're not here to please others, we're here to please God. Paul writes in Galatians 1:10, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. So if we focus on Jesus and try not to focus to please people, people will see him through us. Paul proved himself by being obedient to God. He was living faithfully and humbly. And he focused on God, and his main goal was to spread the gospel to as many people as he could. It was never easy for him. Some people didn't want to hear his story. Some people didn't want to hear his explanations about what had happened in his life. But he knew what he needed to do, and he did it. Yet some people just couldn't forget that old reputation. Some of you might think that your past is too bad to be used by God, because I did. Some of you that you may think that you're too broken, too damaged to be used by God. This is wrong and a lie from the enemy. You might be broken, you might be damaged, but you can be used by God. You know, the enemy will use any lie he can to get inside our heads, to make us think that we can't do things. The enemy will use lies like, how can you be used to help that person when you can't even help yourself? You don't have anything interesting to say. You don't know your Bible enough. They may be called to do that, but you're not. Public speaking is definitely not your thing. Your words will not help anyone. That's not God speaking. You've just made that up. Who are you to teach others? No one will listen to you anyway. These are all lies from the enemy. We need to recognize this, screw it off and throw it away. The enemy will use anything he can to stop you from telling your story. You might think your life is a mess, that God will never use you, that your past is too bad for God to use you. What if someone finds out? What if someone finds out about that mess? Let me tell you this, your mess will be your testimony. Your mess will be your story to tell. Your mess will help someone else going through that same mess, and you will be there to help them through it. Your transformation will be part of your story. Paul's transformation was part of his story. And for people to see you come out the other side, that's really going to give them hope and encourage them. Yes. You know, it's really hard to empathize with someone who hasn't been through the same issues as you. So to have that as a gift can really help others. Jesus will use you, he will strengthen you, he will equip you through it. He will build you up and he will grow you to be able to help others. So do not listen to the lies of the enemy. Stand firm in God's truth. Paul had an awful past reputation, but God turned it around. I had an awful past reputation, and God turned that around. Our transformation is our testimony. It's our story to tell, even if you've had that bad reputation. Now, let me tell you about God's reputation. God's got a reputation of being faithful to us over and over and over again. God's got a reputation of loving us unconditionally. God's got a reputation of forgiving us, even when we feel like we can't be forgiven. God's got a reputation of protecting us when we feel like we don't need protecting. God will stand with us through every single situation. He may not take us out of it straight away, but he will be standing in that fiery furnace with us. He has a reputation of being merciful when we don't deserve. He gives us wisdom, peace, freedom, holiness, unity, and healing. But God also has a reputation of using people with bad reputations. God has a reputation of using the unlikely, the broken, the unqualified to show his glory. So there's Paul, who we know, persecuted believers, jailed them, killed some of them. God turned his life around, and he ended up being one of the biggest evangelists in the Bible, writing many of the books. There was Moses, who wasn't a public speaker, murdered someone, ran away. But God used him to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. There was Jacob, who had this reputation of being sly and sneaky. And not only did he trick his brother into giving him his birthright, but he tricked his own father into giving him his brother's blessing with the hairy hands, you know. But God used him later. There was the woman at the well who'd been married 5 times and living with a bloke who wasn't her husband. Jesus met with her and she went and told everyone. God used her. There was Rahab, the prostitute, that Joshua sent the 2 spies to in Jericho. She wasn't the holiest people. She was a prostitute. But she had a simple faith. And she hid them 2 spies in her house, which it might have been because she was used to hiding men in her house. I don't know. But God used her. There were so many more examples of people in the Bible who don't have the greatest past circumstance, but God used them. God will use the unqualified to show his glory. God will use the broken and the unlikely. God will use whoever he wants to use. Don't ever think that God won't use you for something amazing. He's already started working all of us. We are on a journey and we all have a purpose. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, anyone is in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to make that choice. Make that choice, just give God everything. I know how easy it is to keep little bits of your old life and compromise and think, oh, that's okay, it's just that once, it's a party or it's a birthday or things like that, but make that choice and just give it all to God. So I finished really, really, really early. Must have been speaking really fast. But I just want to have a bit of a time of prayer at the end. And there's three groups of people that God's really put on my heart this week since I've been preparing this. Firstly, if you think that you've got a reputation or a past that is just too bad or too damaged to be used by God, and if you're struggling to believe that you've got a purpose, then come up for prayer. We want to pray with you. Secondly, if there's any of you that are holding back and you're keeping that little bit, and I'm going to come up for this one as well, and you just want to make that choice and just give it all to God, then come up for prayer. And lastly, if you're the one that maybe judges someone or you hear something about somebody and that changes your opinion of them, then come up for prayer as well. The song that I'm going to play is Where's My Cherished Girls? All right, Sue. It's from Cherish. I'll just tell you a little bit about it before I play it. So basically, it was a young couple. They were on stage, they were interviewed, and they told their story. It was their testimony. So they met at youth. They started dating. They started sleeping together. They were in this cycle of kind of sin, and they just didn't know how to get out of it. You know, once you start something and you do it over and over again. She ended up getting pregnant, so they were outed. So people knew their sin. They thought they'd have to leave church. They thought they'd have to run away and hide, and that was it for them. But it wasn't. The church loved them through it. That, you know, God will love them through it. Of course, they'll have consequences, but they'll be forgiven. And that is their story to tell. And now they're married, and they are two of the biggest worship leaders at Life Church. So that's they go around and tell their story now, and you know, they were used by God, which is amazing. So we're going to play the song now. And if you feel like you want to come up for prayer, then yeah, we'll pray for you.